left a faint trace there. A desire to return to Dinoris.
Dinoris?
Althea asked.
I doubt that Holzrath has ever been there. And there were no representatives from Dinoris at the betrothal. Emperor Shifang has been trying to woo Inessa for years, and we thought it wouldn't be appropriate to offer him an invitation.
The princess winced. Something flared up in Fox before it was swiftly shuttered away. Khalid sighed and handed the heart's glass back to Princess Inessa.
That's all I can find. If Master were here, he might have found more.
You said he was in Dinoris, right? I asked.
Looks like all clues lead there.
Althea rubbed her chin.
Unfortunately. Dinoris was a closed nation until recently and not very keen on outsiders. Let's decide our next step at Ankyo.
That might be more difficult than it looks,
Kaelin said.
We might have prevented them from sending an army after us, but that doesn't mean soldiers in every outpost from Neve to Ankyo won't be on the alert. Pigeons fly faster than we can travel.
Zoya groaned.
I am not looking forward to fighting our way to Keon.
I spoke up timidly.
I have a suggestion.
What is it?
I know a means of travel faster than any pigeon can fly.
You can't be serious,
Zoya burst out.
You're not saying we fly on that Aussie, are you?
Althea arched an eyebrow.
It will take at least a week to get to the Keon border, she said slowly. But an army from Neve can use the ports to arrive at Ankyo earlier than that. How long would it take your Aussie, Tia?
You can't be serious, Althea.
It's the best option we have, Zoya. Can you guarantee our safety, Tia?
I think so.
Zoya shivered.
It's cold-blooded, the way you can traipse in and out of that mine like it's an evening stroll through the willows.
Then to the Aussie we go.
Althea allowed herself a faint grin.
I must confess I am curious. Kaelin, the township of Lizette is a 15 minutes ride from here. Bring the horses there. Save Chief and Kismet. The rest will be of little use to us at this point.
Althea skewered me with a look.
We will talk about this again, Tia.
I nodded, glad she hadn't decided on a worse punishment. Still, it was hard to meet her gaze with the disappointment there.
I just hope Mickey and Polaire are going to be all right.
Lick sighed, gazing back at where the two still slept.
I'll need a horse,
Kaelin said.
You can use Chief, I offered quietly. He can bring you back here in under half an—
I'm taking Kismet,
he informed me, swinging up onto the stallion and riding off before I could respond.
I swallowed and looked down, doing my best not to cry. We weren't friends. But surely, surely my compelling him was a forgivable offense.
Can you turn it on and off like a tap?
Princess Inessa asked me as we hurried to pack.
Turn what on and off?
All the familiar sharing space in your head. Do you have to focus on them, or do their thoughts come unbidden?
Proximity helps, I admitted. Animals don't have those mental barriers in place, but their thoughts aren't strong enough to intrude on my own. It's trickier with people because there's a give and take required. If they don't choose to meet me halfway, I don't sense anything beyond a general idea of where they are.
Granted, the only experience I'd had with a human familiar was Fox, and it was hard enough to pry any thoughts from him unless his guard was down. My hold on Aina was a lot more tenuous, almost non-existent at times given the mental barriers she has in place.
But he has a silver heart's glass.
Only because I do. He can't channel magic himself, but he has the same restrictions we have. Asha can't take back our heart's glass after giving it away, for example. It's the same for familiars.
The color drained from Princess Inessa's face, and before I could ask why, she was already stammering excuses as she turned to flee, red-faced.
Whenever we were unruly, my mother had a habit of grabbing us by one ear and twisting to keep us compliant. I put that to good use now when Fox drew close.
If you'll excuse us,
I said to an astonished Lick and a rather amused Zoya before dragging him off so I could scream at him in private. My brother might no longer feel pain, but he reacted on instinct, his protests ceasing only after I let go.
How serious is your relationship with Princess Inessa exactly?
Fox rubbed his ear.
I'm not sure that's any of your business.
It is now. She said she hadn't expected the Empress to choose a husband for her, especially after, in her words, having slept with you.
I'd been chewed out for the better part of the morning by Althi, and I wanted to do the same to someone else.
As you can imagine, her apology came as a complete surprise. Fox's face was perfectly devoid of expression.
That's really none of your damn business, Tia.
I don't want any more details. After my talk with the princess, I definitely don't want to know, but you need to tell me if your relationship is important enough to ruin diplomatic ties.
I don't know.
His mask slipped.
I didn't even realize who she was until after I saw her watching practice for the Darashu Oyun with her ladies-in-waiting.
Did she know you were an Asha's familiar? Fox coughed.
Fox!
Not telling her was my fault. Granted,
every girl deserves to know whether or not they're in a relationship with a familiar from the very start, Fox. What were you thinking?
I wasn't, apparently.
My brother's voice was loud with the things he didn't say. Did you meet her again after you both found out? Or after you ended things?
Darkness. The rustling of hay. Slim hands against my pants. Tugging. Inessa's voice breathless against my ear.
I hate you,
she gasped, meaning every word.
Oh, no. No, no, no. No, 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 no. I clapped my hands over my ears like that could stamp out those thoughts. I summoned the veiling rune and focused on my shield, wanting to scrub out the insides of my head with sharp thistles. The thoughts retreated. Blood rushed to my brother's face.
Yes to both. I'm not proud of it.
I sighed. You really liked her, didn't you? More than Gizabel?
That was uncalled for, Tia.
I wasn't prying into your head. You're just not compartmentalizing well enough today to hide your mind from me. I sat beside him.
What now?
Pretend nothing ever happened. Look, you need to talk to her. And soon. I don't want to stand there to make sure you do, but this can't go on. Can't you at least bury the hatchet with her? Having her angry is to no one's advantage.
It's not that simple.
At least try. A wry smile crossed his face.
You don't have to worry about it.
Kaelin's back!
Althi called out. I stood to leave, but his voice stopped me.
Hey.
Yeah? Fox kept his gaze on the ground.
I know I should have told you earlier. But when you found out, were you okay with it? About me and...
I grinned, feeling a little better, and rapped him lightly on the head. Of course I was. Obviously I had some reservations, but she's a nice person, and I know she made you happy. I'm not pleased that you aren't happy now, but... Well, that's all I really want. For you to be happy. You know that, right? He smiled briefly.
Yeah. Thanks, Tia.
We returned, and I focused on the Aussie. It continued its cautious patrol around the city, but perked when my mind touched its own.
Come.
With a jubilant cry, it turned and sped off. I could feel trees and hills blurring underneath my talons as we raced to the lake we called home. The ground around us rocked as the Deva landed before me. Zoya swore and jumped back, and runes glittered in the air as both Kaelin and Althi reacted on instinct. But the Aussie cooed. It attempted to lick at my face, but I put a stop to that immediately. As far as anyone knew, I'd started controlling the Aussie today and not in the previous year, and its affection might draw suspicion.
I don't know about this.
Zoya's voice was strained. I led Chief up its massive frame to the spot I knew was most comfortable.
You're not afraid, are you?
Zoya glared at me, then made a show of stomping up the beast, tottering a little.
Definitely not.
Lick looked like he would much rather stay put, but when Khalid clambered eagerly up the Aussie's back, he followed gingerly. Althi hefted first Michaela and then Polaire on top of the dragon, settling them securely on the base of its three necks like she'd done this many times before. Princess Anessa was next, not bothering to hide her fright. I watched Fox hesitate, then hold out a hand to help her up. I turned to Kaelin, who was glaring at me.
I'm sorry, I began.
No, you're not. He snapped and climbed up before I could say anything else.
Can't you at least bury the hatchet with him? Having him angry is to no one's advantage.
Shut up, I growled.
And then the Aussie was back in the air with a happy cry, hurtling through the air toward Ankyo over the sound of Zoya and Princess Anessa's screams.
The army raised a white flag at dawn to signal for a temporary truce, an unusual course of action for an army that surrounded a fallen city and had yet to attack. There was no crowd when the small contingent marched down the empty streets. Kion had sent in too many soldiers, far too many for a compromise. But the Bone Witch let them pass through the palace gates unmolested. Perhaps the Deva still camped outside, watching the newcomers with eager eyes were enough of a deterrent. The Dark Asha was prepared. The throne room had been removed of the injured, who had been moved to a smaller hall. Khalad and the Denorian princess had gone with them. Lord Kaelin had disappeared with the Emperor, and I didn't want to know where the Death Seeker was hiding him. A fresh bouquet of flowers had been brought in from the royal gardens. It was a strange idiosyncrasy of hers. Even during her exile by the Sea of Skulls, she had kept garlands in her cave. Monkshood, she told me, smiling. And a rare flower called a belvedere. Are they not beautiful? The Empress Alix of Kion swept through the door of the throne room, flanked by her personal guards, in as grand an entrance as could be mustered, given the situation. With her was a shriveled old woman, short and bowed over, but wearing the most unwieldy hua I had ever seen. It traveled for several meters behind her, and a couple more on either side, her form nearly swallowed by the bulky fabric. Striped yellow carnations were painted on it, an odd choice for an older woman. Her white hair, pulled in a tight bun above her head, was almost hidden by the collection of zivars piled atop it, each ornament more ostentatious than the last, but all eclipsed by a jewel crafted to resemble an azalea flower at its very center. Despite the woman's slightly ridiculous appearance, I thought the Bone Witch flinched, though she recovered quickly. Another Asha joined them, dressed in a somber hua of tinted blue and gray, and wearing a pinched face. Despite the simplicity of her dress, her heart's glass case was the most extravagant of them all. Hammered gold vines and inlaid leaves circled her neck and folded behind her silver heart. She would not stop staring at the Bone Witch's black heart's glass, hatred blazing from her eyes. The last Asha was a woman in a hua of brilliant blue, wave patterns dotting its hems. Her long golden hair billowed out behind her, and her gaze was trained on the Bone Witch's face. The Bone Witch had frequently described Lady Michaela as beautiful, and I could see that she did not exaggerate, but there were lines across the older woman's face, which was marred from a lifetime of tragedies.
"It's been a while, Tia of the Embers."
The Empress had a reputation for flamboyance and playfulness. None of that was in evidence now.
"We thought you dead. Imagine our surprise when word reached us of you raising Deva along Tresea's and Denoris's coasts."
The Bone Witch had the gall to grin.
"If it makes you happy, many times these last few months, I thought I should have been dead too." "Fool!"
The old woman in the elaborate hua flounced forward.
"I did not spend my hard-earned money on you, only to bring down our reputation. Oh, if I could go back in time and stop you from ever darkening the Valerian's door."
"I'm surprised you volunteered for this, Mistress Parmina.
though I am honored that the Empress herself came to see me. She paused. And how are you, Lady Michaela? Are the others at camp? Our friends are all waiting for us in Kion. I came alone for this campaign. You're looking well, Tia. A specter of a smile appeared on the girl's face. And you haven't changed at all, Mickey. As always, Tia, you are a magnificent liar. Where is the Emperor? At peace. Tia, I did not kill him, Mickey. You have my word on that, if my word is still worth anything to you.
Do not speak like you still talk among friends, Bone Witch,
the woman with the vines and leaves heart's glass thundered.
You broke our agreement, Tia of the Embers. We had an understanding, and you sought to steal from our very noses.
I stole nothing, Hestia.
You gave us your heart's glass. In exchange, we promised to spare Fox's life.
Sparing his life is an overstatement. My brother would fare well even without your attempts.
You broke our treaty.
Is that what you call a treaty? To resort to blackmail as I lay on the ground, weak and helpless with death, in the sands? Black Heart's Glass will always return to you, regardless of anyone's control, whether you wish it to or not. Someone told me that once upon a time.
Shut up, Hestia.
Lady Michaela cupped the Bone Witch's face with her hands.
Oh, my sweet child, she said softly. We searched for you for months. Fox was grief-stricken. His only consolation was knowing you were alive. By the time reports reached us of a strange creature sighted along the Sea of Skulls, it was too late. Why are you persisting in this insanity? You will destroy Kion.
Not Kion, no. But there are injustices entrenched in Kion that deserve death.
I will not allow such talk from a traitor!
The fire burning in the palm of Mistress Hestia's hand was frighteningly real. But when she raised her arm to unleash the flames, the Bone Witch's hand moved. The elder Asha paused in mid-throw, eyes wide.
Traitor?
The girl asked softly.
You are the last person to speak of treason. I should let you burn for all you've done.
Let her go, Tia!
Lady Michaela raised her hands, gesturing firmly. The Bone Witches lifted in response, and Mistress Hestia was pushed aside by some unseen force, still trembling with both anger and fear. The battle the two Asha waged was invisible to our eyes. Occasionally, one would flinch from some veiled blow, but neither wavered. Another elder Asha, smarting over her mistress's humiliation, sent a quick streak of flames slicing toward the dark Asha's direction, only for another of her colleagues to stumble into its path. Her Hua caught fire.
Water!
Mistress Hestia shouted, and within seconds, cloudbursts appeared. The woman was shaken and singed, but alive. She remained frozen to the spot, her eyes panicked. Lady Michaela lowered her arms.
Tia, she said, please.
The fires died out completely, and the elder Asha sank to the floor, gasping for breath. The Bone Witch turned away from the monkshood flowers and rearranged the belvedere.
I reject your offer and give you my own. Leave Dinoris. Stand in my way and suffer.
You know we cannot do that, Tia,
the Empress said.
Then we have nothing to discuss.
The wizened old lady with the overabundance of Zivar paused, eyes resting thoughtfully on the flowers the Asha tended.
We receive your message perfectly. Our time with this foolish child has been wasted.
The Empress bowed, and left with Mistress Parmina.
Well, Hestia?
The Bone Witch's voice was soft, so very soft.
Are you prepared to face me?
The elder Asha hesitated, but hurried out after her colleagues.
It's not too late, Tia, Lady Michaela pleaded. I have no choice. You still do not believe me. Then swear to me that you didn't kill her, Tia, that she didn't die by your own hand.
But the dark Asha was silent, The older woman lowered her head and left. Now alone, the Bone Witch stared down at her hands.
"I cannot," she whispered. "The gods help me. I cannot."
14. It's easy to dismiss the Ashaka Association as nothing more than old women in overly elaborate hua, sipping tea and passing gossip. But as one who speaks for Asha all over the world, their word is law in the Willows. I have seen grown women falter under their watchful, accusatory gazes. Now those eyes were trained on me.
"To keep the spells of the faceless merits harsh punishments, especially for a practitioner of the dark. What do you say in your defense?"
"Certain mitigating circumstances forced me to..."
"I see no mitigating circumstances,"
said their leader, Mistress Hestia of House Imperial.
"Such spells have been banned for good reason."
"But the book speaks of a way to save Lady Michaela's life."
"Saving one woman alone is not worth the dangers."
The elder's voice was harsh.
"It would be foolish to imperil the kingdoms to sustain a life already on the verge of flickering out. It would be idiocy to go against Odalian's decree. We already risk much by accepting your claims of sanctuary, and do so only at Princess Inessa's insistence. We will not trespass into Odalian affairs. I expect more from Michaela, though Polaire had always been an eavesdropping little busybody."
They knew. A contingent of Asha had ridden to meet us outside Kion before we had announced our arrival, though my Ozzy fled quickly and escaped notice. Fox traded an Odalian prison for an Ankian one, whisked away even before we had reached the Willows, and Princess Inessa was sent back to the Empress's palace over her protests. I had no chance to see how the others fared, for I was soon brought to the Association Hall to stand before the Tribune. The Ashaka Association wished to remain in Odalia's good graces, but they knew I was too powerful a tool to be sent back, even to cement an alliance.
"Rumors fly on swift wings," one of the elders said. "They say you and Michaela poisoned the Crown Prince. That this Kion plot, carried out by the princess at her mother's command, has spread. What say you in your defense?"
"What is the true ending to Blade That Soars and Dancing Wind's story?" They stared at me, statues dressed in expensive dresses and elaborate coiffures.
"I beg your pardon?" one of them asked.
"Is that too difficult a question?"
I had escaped from the wolves only to find myself in the lion's den. Propriety was the last thing on my mind.
"It must be, for instead of doing everything you can in your power to save Prince Kantz, you are here, building fairy castles against a threat that does not exist to pacify an actual threat from Odalia."
"Here is another question, then. Where have you hidden Lady Michaela's heart's glass?" That earned more than a few gasps. Mistress Hestia looked ready to strike me down where I stood.
"While we sift and root out facts from accusations, you are to remain at the palace dungeons until we..."
Someone coughed, and heads turned toward the sound. I had never met the reclusive Empress Alex of Kion in person, but she commanded full attention wherever she went. She wore gowns so sheer that it would be more respectful to look away than to look at her, and gemstones of every size ringed her neck and arms. Her smile was impish, making her look younger than her 40 years. Like the Asha, she too wore intricate zavars in her hair for show and for protection. With her was Mistress Parmina, looking severe in her black and golden hua, and Counselor Ludwig of Estera.
"Did I arrive in time?"
Cheerful sounds like Empress Alex's voice were rare within the Great Hall.
"I thought of cobbling together an army of guards to make our arrival more impressive, but I decided haste would be better than pomp. These few should suffice."
She indicated the row of soldiers on either side of her.
"This is a private meeting, Your Majesty,"
Mistress Clave sputtered.
"This hall was built from the royal coffers. That gives me some say as to what goes on inside it."
Empress Alex laid a friendly hand on my shoulder.
My daughter has been telling me wonderful stories about this young lady, and I just had to see her for myself.
We are in the middle of an official interrogation.
Not without my presence.
Mistress Barmina had never been on good terms with the Mistress of House Imperial, and her thin voice had syrupy overtones.
By law, the association must inform me of tribunes where any of my charges stand accused. I received no missives.
There are questions that must be addressed. Even I know the answers, Elder.
Counselor Ludwig scoffed.
Was the prince poisoned? Absolutely. Did this girl poison him? Absolutely not. The Duke of Holzrath wishes to distract us from the real issues, including his long-desired ascension to the throne at the expense of his nephew. Is Lady Michaela guilty? No, for the same reasons. Shall you punish them? No, despite your threats and tantrums. If they are innocent of poisoning the prince, then why should they be held?
She has in her possession a book.
Oh, bosh, Empress Alex laughed. Books are only dangerous to those who keep their flock uneducated, Elder. I shall be taking charge of this girl now.
A subdued and angry silence followed as the Empress led us out of the hall, the guards close behind.
Oh,
the Empress sighed.
Talking to those old women is like having your teeth pulled by a herd of tortoises. I hope you don't mind, Lady Tia, but I instructed the guards to free your brother. It's about time the Association stopped using my dungeons for their personal whims.
The trek to the palace was eliciting stares, but the guards surrounded the Empress, matching her stride.
Empress Alex, words can't even begin to express...
They don't. My daughter is as much embroiled in this mess as you are, and just as innocent.
She paused.
You should be blaming me, not thanking me. I agreed to the betrothal over Inessa's objections. She still hasn't forgiven me for that either.
But why would you arrange for an engagement, Your Majesty?
Tia!
Mistress Parmina snapped.
You do not talk to the Empress that way!
That's all right, Parmina. She asks a valid question.
The pretty woman grinned.
When Telamain first proposed the idea, I wondered. Odalian nobles rarely married outside their own kingdom, excluding the occasional treaty with Arn Kosho. But I suppose politics there are not as stable as one might think, and Kantz is a good man and would make an able son-in-law. Besides, I was curious to see how Inessa would react.
Less talking, more walking, Your Majesty,
Counselor Ludwig interrupted.
There are eyes around us.
He patted me on the shoulder.
Although I am glad to see you safe, Tia. It seems you've had quite an escape.
I'm glad to be here, my lord. The guards saluted smartly as we entered the palace, and the Empress led me past the magnificent throne room and into a smaller hallway, toward the royal chambers. Princess Inessa was already there, staring moodily out the window. So was Fox, at the opposite corner of the room. Kaelin stood between them, an apple in one hand from a banquet spread out on the table before him. Fresh flatbread with hummus, feta cheese drizzled in honey, lamb stew and carrots, and rows of fruit and sliced vegetables dipped in yogurt. Kaelin refused to look at me, anger still simmering in his heart's glass. Khalad perched nervously on the arm of a long couch, nibbling on a piece of carrot.
Did they give you any trouble?
Fox asked the question, but it was the Empress who answered.
They were about to exile your sister in perpetuity if I hadn't threatened them. I'm sure they're obstinate enough to try again.
Where are Michaela and Polaire? I asked.
Resting comfortably. Alticia is watching over them.
She turned to her daughter.
Well?
Looking irritated, the princess reached into her dress and pulled out both Prince Kantz's and her own heart's glass. Empress Alex grabbed at Kantz's without warning. There was a brilliant flash, and the older woman reeled back. Princess Inessa rose to her feet, mouth agape.
Mother, you know you can't take his heart's glass without permission.
I had to try.
The Empress frowned.
It's too dangerous for you to have it right now.
I can handle it.
Don't be ridiculous,
Fox said harshly.
There are people who can better protect his heart's glass.
Try to take it, then,
the princess said stubbornly.
You know how heart's glass work. Kantz gave it to me. I'll guard his heart with my life if necessary.
Their stares clashed. Fox was the first to look away.
I hope neither of you were too uncomfortable,
the Empress said cheerfully to the other boys.
It's no problem at all, Your Majesty,
Khalid said meekly. The woman smiled.
I remember how you used to play with Inessa, Kantz, and Kaelin when you were children, Khalid. I'd always hoped that you would stop by the palace when you and your master visit. Though you never do.
My master doesn't like the nobility, I'm afraid.
I'm not surprised. He's had to deal with the worst of our lot in his trade, and that would wear down anyone. He holds Odalian nobles in greater contempt, though. I'm surprised he took you in.
I stopped being a noble the day I agreed to be his apprentice, Your Majesty,
Khalid answered.
Why did you bring us here?
Kaelin spoke up.
It feels like we've been freed from the control of one kingdom only to be taken over by another.
Kaelin!
Khalid exclaimed, shocked by his rudeness. The Empress only laughed.
If you're clever enough to realize that, Kaelin, then you're clever enough to understand why.
We have a problem. My daughter's betrothed has taken ill under suspicious circumstances. My daughter also has his heart's glass, which does not portray her in a good light. And this is all exacerbated further by her fleeing Odalia with a handful of other suspects. What, then, are we to do?
I can leave, Kian, I offered quietly. Tell them I compelled her to leave with me. If you think it will help protect Prince Kantz, if anything happened to him because of me,
you care for him?
The Empress, I feared, was a keenly perceptive woman. I forced myself to look in her eyes.
I care for him as one of his most loyal subjects, I said steadily, surprised by how the words came easily. I will not see him harmed. I've done enough damage.
Empress Alex cocked her head to one side.
Damage? It is the Duke who has caused this turmoil, not you, child. You are not to blame.
But... except I had. I had compromised Prince Kantz. And I compelled Kaelin, forced him to leave, and broke his trust. I stood still, realization breaking through. Kaelin might not have wanted to be my friend, but he had trusted me in spite of it. He would not have trained me if he hadn't. He would not have talked to me about his father and of his childhood or shared his fears. And it was the thought of losing that trust that had frightened me. I could have borne his criticisms and his hostility, but not this. Knowing that I had made me want to cry. Empress Alex continued on, following her own train of thought as I stood there, blinking rapidly and trying not to look in Kaelin's direction.
Your exile won't stop the Duke. The best option, I think, would be to clear all your names. And for that, we'll have to cure the prince. Perhaps the Faceless's book will be of some use.
She grinned at our astonished expressions.
Alfie has kept me abreast of developments. And, of course, regarding matters of the heart, a heart forger is required. Your master is missing, Khalid, which makes you the next best choice.
Khalid startled.
He's missing?
We do our best to keep tabs on the both of you, even when you wander off to other kingdoms. You and your master are rarer than Dark Asha. My spies lost sight of the Heart Forger after he entered Santhyang.
Then he might know something about Prince Kansa's illness, which is similar to the Denorian princesses.
Counselor Ludwig said, finally speaking up, having been silent through most of the discussion.
Locating him is our priority. Fortunately, the Denorian Emperor is notoriously fond of Asha, even despite his occasional animosity. A contingent of Asha on a diplomatic mission might be viewed with greater favor.
Why can't we sneak into Denoris instead of announcing ourselves to the Emperor and his officials?
Kaelin interrupted. I still couldn't look at him.
None of us look Denorian. It's only been some years since Denoris opened its borders to the rest of the kingdoms, and we would stick out.
We can wear disguises.
Not all the time, and not if the princess is with you.
I am going, Inessa said stubbornly. Do you think that's the best option, my lord? I asked Counselor Ludwig.
We have little choice. Trisea and my own Estera are too far away. Dricht cares little for the world outside its borders, and Arn Kosho has historically sided with Odalia. The Eudoxia city-states might intervene, but only if the cause threatens their own territories. War must be averted. Diplomacy should incur the least amount of casualties.
The Empress clapped her hands. Tia, Fox, and Kaelin, you are to accompany Kalad to Denoris and re-establish contact with the old Heartforger. Tia, bring 4 or 5 other Asha along. The Emperor is enamored of dragons, and as a result, of Ozzy. Perhaps we can introduce you as its keeper.
The elders won't like that.
The elders don't know. Althea and I took great pains to keep your new bond with the Ozzy a secret. Hiding a book is easier to defend than hiding an Ozzy, which I'm sure you would have told us sooner or later.
I don't think I would have, I admitted quietly, choosing honesty for once rather than more subterfuge. Empress Alex patted my arm.
I'm not accusing you of anything. You're in a position no one else has been in, and that requires making a lot of hard choices.
I'm going with him, the princess said sharply.
No.
I didn't think Fox wanted to voice that thought aloud, but it was too late. Princess Inessa spun to face him.
And why not?
You're useless, he told her bluntly. You can't fight, you can't defend yourself, and you can't protect Prince Kansa's heart's glass.
Thank you for reminding me how thoroughly irrelevant I am to your objectives, the princess snapped. But Emperor Shifang has been trying to court me for the better part of 3 years. Denoris is a suspicious nation. My presence ensures he will welcome us.
He's right, Inessa. Her mother shook her head. It's too dangerous.
I'm engaged to Kantz, aren't I?
The princess lifted her chin.
I promised to protect his heart's glass with my life if I have to. You might have forced me into the arrangement, but I do not go back on my word. Or do you break promises once they become inconvenient for you?
The Empress glared at her.
We shall talk about this later, Inessa.
And what if we can't find him?
Kaelin asked.
There is one other Heartforger in the room.
Kalad paled.
But I'm not skilled enough.
The Empress wagged a finger at him.
Old Neryl has never been one to heap praise on a subordinate. But he would have released you from his apprenticeship long ago if he didn't think you were a worthy successor. He's rejected 6 candidates before taking you in, and 2 more since then.
Kalad looked shocked.
We must be prepared for all eventualities, Kalad, whether you feel ready or not. A time may come when you shall need to prove your master right.
Empress Alex turned to me.
I will have your Hua and possessions transferred here within the day. My servants shall take you to your rooms to recuperate in the meantime. We'll talk more about Denoris later.
Is there anything you can do for Prince Kantz? She shook her head.
Not at the moment, but I will do my best.
And of Polaire and Michaela?
The same amnesty I give you.
Empress Alex smiled sadly at me.
Althi is doing her best to support Michaela. I understand that your mentor cannot leave Odalia at the cost of her life, but Polaire's sacrifice buys us time. You must thank her when she wakes.
Thank her?
The attempt on Grand Duke Besserly's life. Some of the Faceless's followers who'd escaped vowed revenge, so Polaire claimed credit to shield you. They've all since been captured or killed by the Eudoxians.
I swallowed hard. Thank you for telling me this, Your Majesty.
Counselor Ludwig, Kalad said, I'd like to ask you more about your friend's sleeping illness.
Kaelin was the first one out of the room, and I hurried after him, blocked his path.
Kaelin, I didn't have a chance to—
Then don't.
Kaelin, please. I want to apologize. I know I had no right to compel you, but I had no choice.
No choice? No choice?
You compelled me against my will. But now you're telling me you had no choice? And now you ally yourself with the Ozzy? The Deva that killed many of my friends?
I had no good answer to that. Kaelin strode away, and I closed my eyes, desperately willing away tears. There was a small cough from behind me before Althi spoke up.
Polaire is awake, Tia, and asking for you.
I took a deep breath, trying not to show how much his anger affected me, surprised by the strength of my upset. All right. One would have thought it was Polaire who had lost her heart's glass, that it was Polaire withering away all these years. The Asha's cheekbones were jagged peaks stretched across a barren landscape of skin, her eyes like faded twin moons. Michaela slept on the bed beside hers, an unnatural glow about her serene face, and her heart's glass pulsed softly in tandem with the brunette's.
About time they brought you here.
Michaela's voice was the only thing familiar about her. It was subdued and weaker, but still vibrant. I wanted to throw my arms around her and beg for forgiveness, but I was afraid of her frailty.
I'm sorry,
I sobbed, the tears running freely.
I should never have doubted you. I didn't.
Polaire shook a gaunt finger at my face.
How pathetic, she said, coughing. And how embarrassing. Little things have never tired me before. You have a poor understanding of your priorities, but I was young once and very much like you. Michaela and I are fine, despite how we look. Our unwanted distance from Odalia has given us a heavier load to bear. But we will survive this.
Her eyes drooped. The Empress told me you are going to Dinoris to find the Heart Forger.
I'll find him. I squeezed her hand. I promise I will.
I know, Tia. That I never doubted. Polaire sighed, her eyes falling shut. I have been sharing my heart's glass with Michaela for months now. Another month or so will make no difference. Heart share. A compulsion that us regular Asha can use.
For months? Polaire, how did you know of the rune?
Her study. Polaire mumbled. Hestia.
Mistress Hestia?
But Polaire was already asleep, her breathing steady. The Oracle's temple looked the same as when I had last left it. The same winding halls and confusing corridors, the same fiery pit burning at the center of its only room. The Oracle herself was unchanged. Despite the heavy incense, she wore a thick veil to obscure her face. Asha are expected to meet her only thrice during their lifetime, before they are accepted into an Asha Ka, when they become an apprentice, and again when they become a full Asha. I have visited her twice more after that. She had predicted my bond with the Ozzy and Ana's imprisonment. Now I return a third time, seeking more. Without waiting, I threw one of my Zavars into the fire, watched the shiny opal gleam for a moment before disappearing into the flames.
Did you know this would happen? I demanded. Did you know the prince would take sick?
As it was written, the Oracle whispered, a chorus of voices accompanying the sound.
Will he get better? Will Michaela and Polaire get better?
With death shall come enlightenment. It is not Kant's who you shall weep over, broken and bleeding. You shall weep once for regret and another for family, one more for mercy and two for love. You must tread on a path of dead, Asha. Only then will you find your shadow glass.
What deaths? I cried. But it was useless.
The Oracle turned away and said nothing more. Standing outside the temple much later, I made a fateful decision. I scried and reached out, but not to Fox. I followed the spiral of thoughts leading toward the Asha Ka and into House Imperial.
The mind I entered was a rigid maze, full of right angles and narrow lines. I felt suffocated, undercurrents of thought pushing me in directions I did not want to go. At least with the Aussie, in its swamp-like mind, I could choose my own paths. I swam against the tide, struggling, until I found the memory I feared I would find. Carefully locked away in a hidden drawer of the mistress's study was a familiar book of bound leather, the embossed upside-down crown stamped on its cover. But Mistress Hestia's mind reared up, alarmed, and the image disappeared.
Do not let Empress Alex's submission deceive you. She is wiser than many of the other Elder Asha. The Bone Witch continued to linger by the flowers, inspecting each bud. Did you notice Mistress Parmina's Hua? I wasn't sure she could fit through the door, m'lady. The larger and more flamboyant the Hua, the more she liked it. She wasn't fond of flowers, and yellow carnations are typically worn among the younger Asha. It suggests youth not usually attributed to someone of Parmina's age. Perhaps she didn't think about the implications. No. Parmina had always been vain about her appearance, always quick to follow the conventions of dress. She is craftier than the elders who rule the association, at least. It will take some time before they can muster any attack, Lord Kaelin said, watching the women and their guards ride out of the city from the window. In the meantime, you need practice. How long has it been since you've used your sword? The Asha had not backed down when up against an empress, an elder Asha, and her former mistress. But under Lord Kaelin's raised eyebrow, she wilted.
Several weeks, maybe?
Tia. She raised her hands.
I mourned you for months, and the only thing you single out is that my sword skills are rusty?
Are they? Did you seriously think I was going to change because I died? She glared at him, and he glared back. She surrendered.
I suppose not.
Without warning, Lord Kaelin pulled her close to him and kissed her hard. She whimpered softly. Get your sword. It was a dance of blades. Her fierceness met his skill, matching him stroke for stroke. The Bone Witch worked hard for every parry and blow, but the Death Seeker's shoulders were relaxed, deftly avoiding the brunt of her attacks, but taking his time to counter. Finally, the Asha's blade snapped against his shin. They stopped. The girl was breathing hard, and the boy not at all.
You let me win, she finally growled,
but the frown never quite reached her burning eyes, bright from more than just the fight. I always let you win. He sidestepped her fury, caught her mouth in his again. She resisted at first, still in protest, but gave up soon enough, leaning into his taller frame. Red-faced, I turned to watch Khalad at work instead. The Heartforger's eyes were on the clay before him, but he was grinning. Get a room, you two. A good idea. The Death Seeker lifted the Asha in his arms and carried her across the hall, her half-hearted, half-laughing protests carrying through the corridors, the first genuine sounds of mirth since we had arrived.
15. I had no delusions that Kaelin would resume his sword practice sessions with me after everything that happened, so I took the initiative. The revelations my scrying uncovered had kept me awake the night before, and I was haunted by their implications. If Aenal spoke the truth about Hestia, then was she right about others? Did the elder Asha hide Michaela's heart's glass and not Vanner? I chased those thoughts until morning, and found, despite my lack of sleep, I had excess energy that needed spending. I knew Kaelin trained at dawn. The look on his face when he found me waiting at the courtyard, my practice sword at the ready, would have been funny in any other circumstance.
Get out, he said curtly,
though it was he who turned to leave. I was ready for his rejection, shrugging off the twinge of hurt.
You promised Prince Khons you would protect me.
He stopped. I pushed on.
You might not like me right now, but I'm prepared to make it up to you any way I can. I want to save him too. And if that means learning to defend myself better, then I'll be damned if you let your opinion of me break your oath to the prince. For several moments, he stood as still as the wind. I closed my eyes, prepared for him to rebuff me again. Images of the Ozzy passed through my mind. It was sailing leisurely along the Sea of Skulls, by Tresea's coast. I watched the sparkling waters underneath us, wishing I could sink down into it. A rustling noise made me open my eyes again. Kaelin had stripped off his coat, his chest bare. I remembered how he looked at Lake Stripnik, near naked and soaking wet. "Magnificent," a hidden voice inside me trilled. And I frantically ripped away my gaze, looking up to meet his brown eyes instead.
"What are you waiting for?" he rasped.
An hour later, I regretted my offer. Fox had wandered in, first to watch and then to keep score. 17 for Kaelin, a measly 4 for me. I hopped back and charged again. He parried my attack and swung overhead, but I was ready this time and blocked. He was tougher and more relentless than before, and I realized then how much he'd been holding back in our previous spars.
"Stop,"
Fox finally said after Kaelin scored another hit. I dropped to my knees, puffing, annoyed that he'd barely even broken a sweat.
"Better form than usual," the Death Seeker said,
surprisingly. Then, because he could never stop at a compliment when he could also add an insult, he continued,
"But not all that much better."
I bit back a retort. I was used to Kaelin's snide criticisms, but I wasn't used to the cold way he said them. Like he meant it this time. The Ozzy let out a baleful sigh, sensing my thoughts. My brother approached us, weapon in hand.
"Too tired to go another round?"
he asked, grinning.
"Not after this small fry."
Kaelin abandoned the practice sword for his own steel blade. Watching Kaelin and Fox fight was like watching two of Vahista's best Asha perform the Lament of the Goddess, the most difficult dance in the Academy's repertoire. I moved back and caught sight of Princess Inessa standing nearby, away from their line of sight. Fox moved first. Steel sang as blade met blade. Both men moved far quicker than I ever could, switching tactics and counterattacks in mere seconds. Fox charged forward, and Kaelin shifted to one side, sword sliding inches past my brother's ear. Without hesitating, he turned and swept his blade up, but Fox ducked underneath the blow and swung again, only to be met by another parry. Princess Inessa took a step forward, hand over her mouth. "Don't," I said quietly. "They're having fun." She nodded, her eyes straying back toward the fight. "How are Michaela and Polaire?" "Still unconscious." Althi had told me that sleeping was their body's natural response to healing, that neither was in any immediate danger.
"Fox never told you about me, did he?"
she asked softly.
"I presumed many things about your bond that were not, in fact, accurate."
"It isn't any of my business, Your Highness.
Call me Inessa."
We watched the two in silence for several minutes, neither of them gaining the advantage for too long.
"I've known Kaelin since I was very young," she said finally. "He's Odalia's best fighter. Better than any in Keon. Your brother is extremely competent."
"He told me he wasn't very good back when he was alive." The princess winced at my words.
"But he had to match with the best in the kingdoms to be my protector. I sensed some tension between you and Kaelin," she said. "Are you all right?"
"Not really." I should have been watching my brother. Should have been cheering him on. But I had eyes for only Kaelin.
"Should I talk to him?"
"No!" Inessa blinked, and I hastily lowered my voice. "No, I have to work out things with him on my own."
"Do you like him?"
I looked at her but couldn't think of anything to say.
"Me? Like
Kaelin? Of course not. I liked...
I don't know, I said. I want him to like me, but...
Anessa smiled reassuringly, patted my hand.
Sorry, you don't need to say anything. I understand. I was confused for the longest time, too, trying to figure out what I wanted, who I wanted.
Her gaze drifted back to the sparring.
Fighting styles weren't likely to come up in conversation when I was with him.
So you were often with... How...
She grinned.
As often as I could. They say Kion princesses enjoy more freedom, but that's not true. Oh, we have the run of the palace, but it is a different story beyond castle walls. I snuck out one night, determined to see more of the city I was to one day rule yet knew little of. I was curious about the dancing houses that are so popular among the people. An atelier had once made me a dancer's hua. It was the most fun I've ever had. My dancing tutors were Asha, so I reckoned I could perform with the best. It was easy to slip on a veil and pretend I was just one of the many girls there.
Her voice softened.
Fox arrived in the middle of my performance. Unlike his friends, he was embarrassed to be there. But he couldn't take his eyes off me. He said my dance reminded him of a dance he'd seen his sister perform.
Summer over Estera, I remembered.
I found it adorable. The self-conscious, almost guilty way he stammered. Like he'd stumbled onto secrets he wasn't supposed to know.
I tried to imagine my brother as self-conscious and stuttering and couldn't.
I snuck out a week later and saw him again. His friends told me he visited the dancing house every day, hoping to see me.
The princess blushed, faltering.
He never told you about me?
Being my familiar doesn't mean he tells me everything. Both Fox and Kaelin showed no signs of letting up, and a curious crowd had gathered to watch them spar. Among the onlookers I saw some of Kaelin's friends, fellow Deathseekers I had met before. Ostri, Mavrin, and Alzrin, Farragut, and Levy. I continued. I knew there was someone he was very much taken with. It didn't feel right to pry.
I intend to honor my engagement. My mother might have agreed to it in my name, but it is my duty to follow through.
She laughed.
We're good at keeping up the pretense of free will. Few people know what few choices we truly have.
She turned to look at me.
I wanted you to hear my side of the story. Not that it matters now.
It does. It was my turn to pat her hand. And I admit, I would have wanted to learn about this sooner. But Fox cares about you. I stressed the word, watching her surprise. Still does. It doesn't sound like you're ready to let go of your relationship. And I know he isn't either. I could meddle as well as my sister Daisy if I wanted to. Something akin to hope appeared in her eyes and spread across her heart's glass.
Do you...
A shout from the field made us turn. Fox had made a slight mistake, a forward jab an inch more than he should have. Kaelin altered the stroke of his swing, and the blade glanced off Fox's shoulder. I gasped, and Anessa's hand gripped at her collar, nearly yanking it off. Her heart's glass burned a bright blue. Fox moved back, grinning ruefully.
Point to you.
The audience broke into applause. Ostri and the others leading the cheers.
Fine job, you two!
The burly Adoshan called to them.
Never thought I'd see the day someone could give Kaelin a run for his money!
A run for my money, too,
Levy grumbled.
I bet Alzrin the Familiar would win.
Watch out, Kaelin!
Mavrin laughed.
Sir Fox shall outstrip you soon enough!
Kaelin wrinkled his nose, used to his friends jesting. But he was smiling. Anessa grabbed one of the wooden swords propped against the wall and made a beeline for them. My brother moved quickly in battle, but he seemed paralyzed as the princess approached. The crowd went quiet,
You told me I was useless because I couldn't protect myself or my fiancé.
Inessa planted herself before him,